preach a message found in the book of Mark, chapter number 8. Mark, chapter number 8. I want to start reading to you in verse 22. And I want to preach today on the power of the second touch. The power of the second touch. I don't know if I've ever preached this before. I have no idea. I have no idea if I have or I haven't. But I have a feeling in my heart today that there's people under the sound of my voice. If you were truthful and if you were honest with me, you would say to yourself and you'd say to God, God, let me have another touch on my life again. Would you just come by, Lord, and would you touch me again? You see, I'm in the same category as you're in. Because I told the folks on Wednesday night, I said, if this message ain't for you, catch it and throw it back at the preacher. I said, because I need a fresh anointing. I need God to touch me again. I need God to do a work in my life again. Now, some people, I don't mean this to be so facetious or anything like that, but some people don't think they need touched of God. They've already arrived. I don't know any of them, but if there's people here today that you feel like you've reached the crescendo of your spiritual life, Lord, tell me, how have you done it? Because I'll be honest with you, I need Him every day. I need God to touch me every day that I live. I don't want to walk a moment of my life without God's touch on my life. And I wanted to say this before I read this and before we got started into this message today. I don't know how many people fight the devil. And somebody says, well, you're not supposed to fight the devil. That's true. You're supposed to fight the good fight of faith. We're supposed to contend for the faith. That's what Jude says, and that's what Paul told Timothy, is to fight the good fight of faith. But Paul also reminded us in the book of Ephesians, I'm not going there this morning, that we're in a warfare. We are in a warfare. And Paul would have never told Timothy to put on the whole armor of God if there wasn't somewhere along your life a battle that's going to be ensued for your spiritual life. I don't know where today finds you at. I don't know where your soul is today. I don't know who is saved. I don't know who's unsaved. I don't know who's backslid. I don't know who's on the verge of being backslid. I don't know who's lukewarm. I don't know who's hot. I don't know who's cold. But whatever happens in this room today, I'm praying that God, the Holy Ghost of God, Brother Russell, would come our way and would touch us again. So let's read this text before we pray this morning. When you look again in Mark chapter number 8 and verse number 22, the Bible says, and he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. And then he says in verse 25, after that he put his hand again upon his eyes and made him look up. And he was restored and saw every man clearly. And he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town, nor tell it to any in the town. Stretch your hand this way and pray for me this morning. Father God, as we come before you today, Lord, I want to come before you humbly as I know how. To love you, to honor you, and to thank you, Father God, for your touch upon this congregation today. Father, I know, God, today that you're more than able and you are an efficient God. And Lord, I pray, God, that you would begin to touch us in this room today. Father, I pray, God, that everything that's said here today, everything we've studied, everything we've prepared for, that God, at this moment in time, that God, that you hide me behind the cross, that God, that it's not what I can do, it's not the words that I can say, But God, it's what you can do, and it's the words that is said through me by you here today. Father, I pray that you would open up our ears today. Father, you said in your word, to him that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. And Father, I understand our inadequacies and our weaknesses, Lord. And without you, we cannot do anything at all. But God, all things are possible. Oh God, to them that believe in God, all things are possible through you. And Father, I pray, God, that you would touch us today. I pray, God, that you would help us today, God, once again to be touched by the Master's hand. And Father, in everything, we're going to be careful to give you the praise, the glory, and the honor for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. If you turn your attention to verse number 25 for just a few moments. We look here in the word of the Lord, and the Bible says, and after that he put his hands again upon his eyes, he made him look up. And he was restored, and he saw every man clearly. When I began to think about this particular message earlier in the week, and I began to prepare for this particular time, I began to think about how many times in my own life has God had to come back by and touch me again and again and again. I began to think about the old song that the songwriter wrote, the old Southern Gospel song. It was written by a woman by the name of Dawn Thomas. And that particular song, as I began to look through this song that I believe God put upon my heart, the name of the song is, He'll Do It Again. This is the lyrics to this particular song. It says, you may feel down and feel like God has somehow forgotten. You may feel down and you may feel like that God has somehow forgotten. Now, I don't always preach songs, but I really felt like this was an important song for you to listen to today, because I know people well enough, and anytime you feel like that the Holy Spirit is not near you, anytime you feel like that God is not near you, the devil's going to jump right up on your shoulder, and the devil's going to begin to tell the church, God don't love you. God has forsaken you. If God was for you, you wouldn't be going through what you're going through right now. I don't know how many times that I have felt that way. I don't know how many times you have felt that way. But I just want to be obedient to God this morning, and to let you know that the Bible says that He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If God has touched you before, I believe that God will touch you again. And I believe more than you even want the touch of God on your life this morning. I believe that God wants to come by, and God wants to eradicate some things out of your life. And I believe that God wants to touch the church one more time. I believe that with everything within me. But that little song begins to say, you may feel down, and you may feel like that God has somehow forgotten. And then this writer, the name Dawn Thomas, goes on to say that you are faced with circumstances that you can't get through. But right now it seems that there's no way out, and you're going under. Look at this. God's proven time and time again, He'll take care of you. I don't know who this message is for today, but I just came by long enough to tell you that might be you today. You might be in circumstances, we've all been there. You might feel in your own heart this morning that there's no way out, that there's no way that circumstances around you could change. Maybe today you feel like that you're going to go under because of everything, that the weight of the world is upon you. But I'm going to tell you this morning, friend, I believe that Jesus wants to walk through every aisle of this church today. I believe that He wants to help me preach this morning, church. I believe He wants to touch every person in this room and let you know today that He'll do it again. God, the second verse says, God knows the things that you're going through. Listen to this. And how you're hurting. Does that speak to a reality to anybody besides ourselves? He says he understands just how your heart has been broken in two. He's the God of the sun, the God of the stars and the sea. And the songwriter said, and he is your father. He'll calm the storm. He'll find a way and he'll fix it for you. And the chorus goes on and the chorus says, and he'll do it again. He'll do it again. Yes, he will do it again. Just take a look at where you are now and where you have been. Hasn't he always come through for you? He's the same now as then. You may not know how, and you may not know when, but the writer said, but God will do it again. Somebody shout with me, he'll do it again. One more time, say it, he will do it again. And what God has done for you, and what God has done for me in the past, he'll do it again. Somebody shout amen right there. No matter what you've been through, no matter what I've been through, you say, preacher, do you ever go through anything? You have no clue. But I know one thing. I know in whom I have believed. I know where my anchor is. I know that I'm not going to waver like a wave of the sea. I know in whom I believed. I know today that I put my hand in the hand of the man who calms the water. I know I put my hand in the hand of the man that stills the sea. And whatever might come, I'm going to keep my faith in him who has a perfect track record. And his record stands affirmed and approved that God has never failed. Amen, amen, and amen. There's a song on Caleb. I don't know if I really like that song. But there's a song, and one of the part of the lyrics says that God's not failed me yet. I understand what they're saying. But when I hear that song, I've told Sherry about it. I said, when I hear that song on Caleb and it says that God's not failed me yet, to me, it puts a little check in there. He's not failed me yet, but he's soon to let me down, or he possibly could let me down. I just come by long enough to say this, that there's no yet to it. God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And God is not going to fail you. He's forever committed to his word. He's not going to let you down. He's not going to let me down. When I begin to think about the power of his touch, there are several things throughout the Word of God begin to touch my mind. And I begin to look in the Scripture. I begin to look at several places throughout the Word. The power of his touch. Just a few pages back, we can read in the book of Mark, chapter number 5. In Mark chapter number 5 and verse 21, and also these same scriptures is written in Matthew and also in Luke. But we can see that when Jesus passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. Notice when you begin to look at this scripture in verse 21, the Bible says he passed over again. Brother Russell, that just lets me know there was more for him to do when he went back over there again. You may not have got what you needed last Sunday. You may not have got what you wanted the Sunday before that. But I just came by to tell you this morning that he's coming by here again. Amen. God's in the house again to do something for you. I'm telling you, my friend, right now, this is not just another void or empty sermon or something that I went and pulled out of the closet. God told me to tell you today that God's a God of a second chance. And God says, I'm coming back by again to do what he wants to do in your life. Hallelujah. Anyhow. And the Bible said, and behold, there cometh one ruler of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And he saw him and fell at his feet, and he besought greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands upon her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. Look at this. In verse 24, the Bible says, and Jesus went with him, and much people followed him. And they actually thronged him. They were everywhere. They were around him. They were everywhere that you could Imagine people bumping into each other, and people there were running over top of each other. People were trying to get to Jesus. They heard that Jesus was in town. My friend, what would it be like today? What would it be like today if people had decided just to come and see Jesus today? Just come to see in this church today just exactly what it is that Jesus is doing. Wouldn't that be glorious? Wouldn't it be wonderful? It would be noised abroad that Jesus was in the house. And people from all over Thomasville and this general area had thronged over this way, and they had tried to get into the house to where Jesus was. Now I'm going to be a little evangelistic today, and I'm going to be a little preachy here for a minute. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. I can only imagine if the word of God began to spread like a wildfire throughout this city, and you begin to tell everybody, hey, look what God is doing over there at the Thomasville Church of God. Look at what God is doing. God is showing up, and people are being saved, and people are being sanctified, and people are being filled with the Holy Ghost, and people are being delivered, and people are being set free. My friend, it wouldn't be long till we would be deciding where we were going to sit when we come into God's house. It was noised abroad. Go tell somebody about Jesus. Go tell them what He's done for you. It spread throughout the city that Jesus was there again and He was coming by. And all of a sudden, when we begin to look at this text, and we see again the same text over in the book of Luke, we begin to see here that this particular woman, this particular lady that had been going through this issue of blood for 12 long years, the Bible said, and a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years. The Bible describes her, and you know her very well. Preachers have preached about her for years. I heard Pastor Boland talk about this one time, and he alluded this to a church. How the woman oftentimes talks about the church, the bride of Christ. But this church had been bleeding, or this lady had been bleeding for a very long time, and there was no hope for her. There was no help for her. I don't know who I'm talking to today, but maybe you're in this room today and you feel like your greater days are behind you. Maybe there's something in your life today that you've been struggling with for a very long time. And I don't never know who I'm talking to, but maybe it's some form of infirmity in your body. Maybe it's something that nobody knows about, only you know about. Maybe it's something today that you struggle with. Maybe it's an addiction that you struggle with. Maybe it's some type of inferiority. Maybe it's something that you personally struggle with. Maybe some of these young people today, and we've dealt with this in our church today, and we deal with it with our youngins and our children today, that children don't feel like they're enough. They feel like they are less than who God has made them to be, and children start cutting themselves, and children start doing all kinds of self-destruction to themselves, trying to find some form of relief for the pain that they're suffering. May I tell you today one more time, I don't know what brought you to the Thomasville Church of God today, but if you're going through pain today, He's your pain taker. If you're here today and you're going through anguish today, my friend, the Bible said, cast all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. I don't know what kind of load that you're carrying today, but may I submit unto you that He is the burden bearer today. So cast all of your care off of yourself onto Jesus today. 12 long years. 12 long years she had carried this. 12 long years she had suffered with it. The Bible says that she had suffered many things. Maybe you're in this room, and I'm just preaching this the way God laid it on my heart. Maybe you're in this room today, and maybe you've suffered with something for a long time. Maybe in this room today you felt like the answer was never going to come. Maybe you've again felt like that you've tried and you never have got your breakthrough. Can I tell you again today, I believe in the power of a second touch. Amen. I believe that God is able in this room on a Sunday morning to come and do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ever ask or think. And the thing that's in your life that you felt like that God had forsaken you over, and the things that you felt like that God would never deliver you from or heal you from, I submit unto you today that God is getting ready, my friend, to send you a tsunami of His power and a tsunami of His glory if you are only willing to receive it. I believe that. The Bible said that she had done anything. The physicians went to the doctors. Nothing wrong with going to doctors. She spent all she had. She was broke, busted, and disgusted. Didn't have anything else to give. Now, I've just got to be plain this morning. How many of us in this room have came to church and been faithful to church? Come and sat on the pew, give of your tithe and gave of your offering and gave of yourself. But yet you went home just as burdened as you came. You went home in the same condition that you left in. And you ask yourself, is there any reason anymore to even get out of bed and show up? I'm going to tell you something, friend. This woman, she had only grew worse. Her condition had only worsened. With every effort that she had put forth, she was just as in a worse shape or just about a shape as she was 12 years ago when she started. You know what it took? It took her making up her mind that she heard that Jesus, Brother Troy, was coming to town. She made up in her mind, hey, I've already spent everything I've got. I've already lost everything I've ever had. I've already tried everything I know to try. But I heard that there was a man by the name of Jesus coming through town. I heard that He had already healed people on the other side before He came back over on this side. I had already heard that the things that He had done. And then she said within herself, I'm going to try this one more time. Somebody in the room, you need to hear me. You may have given up on yourself. You had been maybe given up on your healing, given up on your children. God, don't give up on your children. I'm trying my best. But my friend, hear me today. If you and I can get it within our own heart, I'm going to go to Jesus one more time. I'm going to try Jesus one more time. I'm going to give Jesus the opportunity one more time. The Bible said that she came from behind Him, and the Bible said because a woman wasn't supposed to touch Him, first of all, but she came in from behind Him. She broke every tradition. She broke every rule. She broke every law. I'm going to tell you something, friend. I'm not trying to get crazy and throw the baby out with the bathwater, but sometimes we've got to get beyond our comfort zone. Sometimes we got to get God out of the box that we put Him in. Sometimes we got to just let the Holy Ghost be the Holy Ghost. Come on, somebody. What she did, she moved forward. She might have got down on her knees. She might have had to stretch her arm out. All she had to do was touch the hem of the garment. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying she made up in her mind all she was going to do in spite of the crowd, in spite of the naysayers, in spite of the ones that said no, in spite of all of that, she said, I've got to touch Him. If the church would get that desperate, if you and I would get that desperate and say, I don't care what anybody else says, I don't care who gets in my way, I don't care who tells me to calm it down, I don't care who says it's too loud, I don't care who says we don't need all that, I'm going to tell you something, friend. Desperate people do desperate things, and the church is in a place today. If we don't touch Him, we're in trouble. And I'm saying, God, let us reach out to Jesus one more time. Let the church touch Jesus one more time. I don't know who's in this room that's hearing me that needs the touch of Jesus in your life right now. I don't care where you've been. I don't care how many times you failed. I don't care how many times you had to stop and start over. My God, I feel Him in this room today. If you would just reach out one more time today and let your faith arise, I believe that God will do something in your life. You say, well, I just think this is preaching and I've never seen the reality of it. If God's ever touched anybody in this room, I want you to stand with me. I wasn't even planning on doing that. There's your testimony. There's your testimony right there. Pick you out somebody and say, why don't you tell me what he done for you? Woo! Why don't you tell me what he's done? And let him, you can be seated. Let him touch you one more time. He'll do it again. Oh God. Don't give up too soon. Don't quit. I hear the Holy Ghost and I've heard it before. Don't break down before you break through. I believe there's a miracle in the making. I know that song, Brother Horace. There's a miracle in the making. And Deborah Shepherd sings the song. There's a miracle in the making. One just for you. He's working even now. I believe that God is getting ready to do this in this room. I believe that God's getting ready to do this in the neighborhood. I believe that God's getting ready to do it in your life. But you've got to make your mind up. I'm going to touch him. I've done it before, preacher. I've done it before. Do it again. Stretch your hands towards Sharon. Father, in Jesus' name, touch her eyes. Lord, her testimony is she's blind. Her testimony is I can't see. But God, just as much as you've touched people in the past, you're able to touch Sharon even now. You're able to touch the cornea of her eyes. You're able, God, to do miracles and healing. And Father, her testimony is that Jesus touched me and he healed me and he raised me up in spite of all that the doctors had said. I can see again in Jesus' name. I wasn't even planning on doing that, but I'm praying that God will heal that woman. Oh, God, Abba Hasaya. How? You say, preacher, why are you hollering? I don't know, but it feels good. Oh. Excuse me. That's all I can tell you is excuse me for a minute. Got to get my composure. Woo! Will you receive it? Will you receive it? Will you receive it? And the Bible says, if you begin to look at this woman again, this is what she said. Verse 27, I came behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I can but only touch his clothes. And the reason was the seat with the word of God was in the clothing of Jesus. And then the Bible said, as you look at this, she said, but if I can only but touch him, I shall be made whole. So as she did, the Bible says there in verse number 29, and straightway the fountain, the Bible says, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed, the Bible said, of this plague. Jesus, immediately knowing within himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about, and the Bible says, in the press, in the crowd, and the Bible said, and he said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, seest that the multitude is thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked round about and seeing her that had done this thing, and the woman fearing and trembling, knowing what had been done unto her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. Verse 34, the Bible said, and he saith unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Verse 34, go in peace and be whole of thy plague. I don't know how that hits you today, my friend. But when we begin to look at that, the Bible says this in Luke. You don't have to turn there. Luke 8 and then 48. Jesus said, daughter, be of good comfort. Be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And then he says, go in peace. Now, I'm not going to take the time to go to Jairus' daughter and talk about Jairus' daughter, but you can read that in just when you have time to do that, because I've got to get to this text for just a few moments. When I began to think about this event with this woman, she reached and she touched Jesus. The power of the second touch, my friend, is when you make up your mind. I'm saying, yeah, you're saved. I'm not saying you're not saved. Even saved people have need of Jesus. Even saved people that are born again, we need Jesus. And I'm just saying today, if you'll just reach out and touch Him one more time, if the church of God would reach out and touch Him one more time. There's another song that comes to mind today. It's an older song again, one of those old Southern gospel songs that says, touching Jesus is all that really matters. There's another song that says, I was shackled by heavy burdens. Oh, neath the load of guilt and shame, but the Bible says, but the hand of Jesus reached down and He touched me. But this particular song says, touching Jesus is all that really matters. Then your life will never be the same. There is only one way to touch Him. Just believe when you call upon His name. When we began to think about that, we think about that. He said, I was bound when I knelt at the old altar. But they said, Jesus could not meet my every need. And when this prisoner finally touched Jesus, the hem of His garment, He set me free. Praise the Lord, free indeed. When I began to think about you, I began to think about me, I began to think about us. I begin to think about how that we were all shackled at one time in our life. You may look at me holy if you want to, but friend, there's everybody in this room at some point of your life, you had a sin issue, friend. At some point of your life, you were in the bondages of sin. The Bible said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But thank God today, when I heard about the man, hallelujah, he's a sea walker, amen. He's a blind man healer. The Bible said he's the man that walked the sandy shores of Galilee. Oh, my friend, when I thought about Jesus, when I heard about Jesus, my friend, He set me free. People today and people you know and people I know, they hear us talk about Jesus. They'll share a prayer at a special event. They'll go to a funeral and they'll hear about Jesus. A family reunion or an event. But they've never really met Jesus. They don't really know who Jesus is. And I believe today that God sent me by here long enough this morning just to tell you, you've heard about Jesus. You heard your family talk about Jesus. I heard my granny talk about Jesus a lot. Way before I ever knew who Jesus was. You know how she talked about Jesus? Because she was a shuffler. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Mercy, 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 mercy. Jesus, Jesus. I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you the truth. When she got older, she lived about 94. Where would we be today, Brother Russell, if somebody hadn't taken the time to tell us about Jesus? See, today there's people in this room, you've heard about Jesus, but you've never really had the personal encounter. And I believe that He's sending me by this morning to tell you that He can touch you again. Maybe your salvation date was in 1947 or 1974. I don't know. But whatever the case may be, if I trusted my heart and if I trusted this message, if I trusted God today, I believe there's people in this room that needs a second touch. And a third touch, and a fourth touch, and a fifth touch. There's people in this room today, you're longing for God to do something in your life. You just don't know how to get it to happen. Let me tell you something, friend. You don't really have to do a whole lot of anything just to come to Him. Say, Lord, here am I. Hey, here's the thing. So many people say, well, when I get it all together, when I get it fixed, when I get this worked out, when I, and then I'll come to, no. Bring him everything you got. Bring him your baggage. Bring him all your troubles. Bring him all your cares. Will Jesus really accept me, preacher? You don't know what I've done. Thank God I don't have to know what you've done. I don't have to know where you've been. I don't have to know. I was in the jail one time doing evangelism. I was with Herman Tony, our DO at the time. I said, listen, you've just got to confess your sins today and the Lord will forgive you. That young man started confessing to me. I said, no, not me. You don't have to tell me how many times you slept around. You don't have to tell me how many things you've done. You don't have to tell me none of that. But you do have to tell him. I stopped him in his tracks. I said, no, not me. Tell Jesus. And ask Jesus to touch you again. Now let me get in the next few minutes, and please don't walk out on me this morning unless you have absolutely no other choice but to go. If you'll give me just a minute, this is so important to me. Everything I've preached, everything I've done leads up to right now. The person sitting next to you that you might disturb when you get up might be the very one that God's dealing with, and you getting up might disturb them to where their mind gets off of what I'm saying onto something else. So give me just a few minutes, okay? When we look into this text today, we see several things about this man. Several things that I wish I had a little bit more time to talk about, but I'll just do it really vaguely. So here's what I got out of this text. First of all, when I began to look at this text, in Mark chapter number 8, verse 22, this is what the Bible says. And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him. First thing that I thought about is, who are you bringing to Jesus? We've all been blind. We were all dead in our trespasses and in our sins. This blindness here, it didn't say that, but you could equate this as spiritual blindness as well. So this man had to have help getting him to Jesus. So that's my first thing. The church today, who are we helping get to Jesus? And as we begin to look in verse 22, we begin to see this. We can see when you look at it, and it says, they bring a blind man unto him and besought him to touch him. When I began to read that, and besought him to touch him, it was the blind man that was beseeching, and the blind man sought for Jesus to touch him. They helped him. But the blind man couldn't see where to go. He didn't know how to get to Jesus. Come here, Dallas. So he took him by the hand. He took this blind man by the hand. He wants to get to Jesus. He don't know how to get to Jesus. He's blind. He can't see. He took him by the hand. Sherry's Jesus this morning. And I'm taking this man who is a grievous sinner, but yet wanting to get saved, I bring him to Jesus, just an example. And then I have a great, glorious union between the great sinner and the great Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
And that's the church's mission. Amen. So when you begin to look at this, he begins to say that, and he says he besought him to touch him. So when I think about that, I think to myself, I wonder how many people in this room, answer this to yourself. Answer this to yourself. Are you really where you know you need to be? And are you where you really know you want to be with Jesus? I don't know how you're going to answer that. But I'm simply going to tell you what I believe God told me. That if you need His touch again on your life, you can have it. You can have it. There's always going to be obstacles. That's not in my notes nowhere. There's always going to be obstacles that's going to get in your way. Let me move real fast. When we look at this, it says we all were blind. Someone helped us to get to Jesus. I got a testimony with that. Who are you helping lead others to Jesus? I've got three pages. I'm going to go through them real fast. And he took him by the hand, and then he took him to out of town. The Bible says Jesus took him by the hand and led him out of town. He led him to the place of the unfamiliar in order for him to get out of the familiar, in order for him to receive what Jesus had for him. Sometimes our environment will hinder us because our environment is too familiar to what we've always done. Sometimes Jesus has got to come and get us and take us out of town. And by that, I'm simply saying that the Bible says a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country only. Sometimes we must leave what is comfortable, where it's easy to sin, where it's easy to stay in the condition that we're in, and easy to continue on our own without any reflection of the simple fact that we need Jesus in our life. Watch this. I wrote this down. Recovery is not easy because recovery is not about comfort. There's no such thing as an easy recovery, and I don't care if that's anything you're dealing with. I've been around it enough to know. But recovery, my friend, is a very difficult thing at times. One person told me one time, if change was easy, everybody would be doing it. And he took him by the hand to lead him out. And he took him by the hand. Jesus took him by the hand. Watch this. And he led him by the hand. Watch this. He changed his direction. You know what the definition of insanity is, don't you? Always doing things the same way and expecting different results. Sometimes you got to let Jesus take you by the hand. That's what the Bible said. He grabbed him by the hand and he took him in another direction. Took him out of the city, but here at the place of the familiar. And then you see this in verse number 23. He took the blind man by the hand and he led him out of town. Now look at this. It says, and he had spit in his eyes. About that time, most of the men in the church would wadded up their fists and said, you won't do that again and get by with it. Now that's weird. Spit in somebody's face, spit in somebody's eyes. I don't know why Jesus was a spitter. Jesus spit more than one time. He spit on a man's tongue one time. And he said, Ephphatha. In chapter 7, Ephphatha. And in that, it means to be loosed. I don't want nobody spitting in my mouth. Hello? Jesus did that. Really weird, ain't it? Now, you got to understand the culture of the day. Bob, you'll have to help me. Some of you theologians will have to help me because I don't know the answer. Other than, Brother West, what I looked up and what it said, because it was thought in that culture of that day. Scott would have to help me here. It was thought in the culture of the day. This is weird, but it's just thought. It's really weird because they thought in the culture of the day that there was a healing agent in the spit of the person. Now, it would cure ailments. It would cure whatever ailment a person had. Jesus spit on a man's tongue. This time he spit in a man's eyes. Really weird, right? Really, really something that I don't have really a whole lot of answers for, and I really couldn't find a whole lot of answers for, but it was very unusual. Revival may not come the way you expect it. It may not come the way you want it. I think that when this particular event, it proved that Jesus was who Jesus was. And I'll tell you about that in just a second. He says here in the Word of God, he spit in his eyes. And then we see here again, when you look in the text, he says, and he put his hand up on him and he asked what he saw ought. And he said that he looked up and he saw men as trees walking. One commentary talked about this. He said that he saw men walking as trees. And this is not a bad thing. It's a glorious thing because he was finally able to get his eyes off of man and he was no longer able to see man clear. When he looked at man, they looked like trees. And his view of his intended expectation of people always being able to meet his needs at that time became very blurry. I love everybody in this room. Everybody in this room loves me. But there's only so much you can do for me. Hello, somebody. There's only so much I can do for you. Sometimes we've got to get our eyes off of the natural, if you will. We see men as trees. We see men as a blur so that we can get our eyes off of man and what man can do. And we turn one more time to him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above more than we could ever ask or think. We begin to look at this and we begin to see God clearer when Jesus came back. Now watch this. The Bible says again, he says, I see men walking. It was unclear. Maybe his faith was being tested. Maybe it was something that he had never experienced before. But when we look into verse number 25, this is really where I was headed the whole time. He put his hands on him again. When I think about that, I thought about when Jesus took him by the hand and we led him to that place. Maybe that place of solitude. Maybe that place of prayer. Maybe that place where you don't see men anymore. Maybe it's that place of you and Jesus and Jesus and you only. Maybe it's that at that moment in your life when you're getting ready to receive your fresh touch. I'm a little old school. You have to forgive me for being a little old school. A little old school is all I know. I know it worked when I was growing up, and I believe that it'll work now. But I said that to say this, that what worked then will work now. I remember going to church. There wasn't no, I don't know how to say this. There wasn't no patty cake church. There wasn't no seeker-sensitive church. There was no user-friendly church. Hello? We would go in and we had one thing on our mind. We would sing the songs of Zion. We would sing the songs of praise. We would sing the songs that glorified God. And then we would get ready for the word. We would respond to the word. And friend, we'd have an altar service. Because we knew if it didn't happen at the altar, that Brother Jeff, we were going to leave just like we came. And you hardly cannot even get anybody to come and pray at an altar anymore. That's why your preacher gets tired. Somebody says you need to give an altar call. You need to come to the altar if he does. Now, I'm not trying to be ugly at the end of this message. But it gets weary sometimes when you have to say, y'all come on up here. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Let's all join. Let's all come. Let's just all get it. No. These people, when they heard that Jesus was in town, they couldn't wait to get to where Jesus was. I think somebody that's truly born again, they can't wait to get into God's presence. Lord, have mercy. The Bible says, when you look at this, he said he put his hands on him again. And then he says, and he made him look up. Again, he had to get his eyes off of what was in front of him. He made him look up. Bible says Jesus in the book of John, I think it is, and if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Look to Jesus. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, I think it's 12:2, if I'm not mistaken, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. If we as a church and we as a people would get our eyes off of everything else, and get our eyes back on him. Look to Jesus. I believe that Jesus would come by a second time and a third time and a fourth time. But in this situation, Jesus put his hands on him again. I like this latter part of this because when he done what Jesus told him to do, he made him look up and he was restored. He was restored. And then he was able to see every man clearly. But he wasn't able to see man clearly until he had already got the touch from God that he needed. Maybe you're in this room today. Maybe you say, well, God, I need you in my heart. I need you in my life. I need you to restore me. I need you to do a work in me. Now, I'm not going to call nobody out. I'm not going to embarrass nobody. I'm not going to do anything to anybody. I'm just simply going to do what I felt like God told me to do when I was studying. If you need a touch of God again, I want you just to stand where you're at. Don't move, just stand straight up. If you need God to do something in your life, be honest in your own heart today. Be honest in your own life today. And if you're willing to let God do something in your life, just start praising him. Start glorifying his name. Start just magnifying him and say, Lord, here I am. Don't care how many times you've been there. Don't care how many times you've had God touch you before. But I believe that if you'll let God touch you again, I believe that God will do it. The Bible says that Jesus, and all throughout the scripture, you can read, especially in the New Testament, is where even the apostles, the disciples, they laid their hands on them. Jesus laid his hands on this man. I don't know what it is, but today there's something about laying hands on another believer. And as you lay hands on that other believer, God, you put your faith with my faith. God was able to do this. So I believe that if you're in this room today and you need God to do anything in your life, let him touch you today. Can y'all sing for just a minute? Y'all feel like singing? Shackled by a heavy burden. She can put it on the screen up there. Maybe that's you today. See, Kay come on her own will. I didn't beg her. I just ask you to stand if you need a second touch. A good evangelist would say, once you're standing, if you want God to touch you, I want you to meet me here in this altar. A good evangelist would have done that. But I didn't want to prod. I didn't want to just beg, and I didn't want to just plead. I just simply wanted you to make up your mind yourself. God, here I am. Stretch your hand this way and pray for Kay Benton today. Father, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord, the power of a second touch. And God, I believe that you're able to touch her today, Father, from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. I believe, God, there's a miracle in the making here today. And God, what you've done in the past, you're able to do again. And God, you will heal. And God, you will set free. And God, you will deliver. And God, you will do a mighty work in her life. And God, I believe this today in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. How many of you believe that God can do it again? Come on, church. Just for a minute. Just for a minute. Let him do what he wants to do. Let him do what he wants you to do. Let him do what he wants to do. Let him do what he wants to do. Let him do what he wants to do today. Let him do what he wants to do today. Some of you ladies, come and pray over Jasmine today. She's getting ready to deliver this child over the next few days. Just within a week, her due date's within a week. Some of you ladies, just anoint her with oil and pray over her here, Dina. Just anoint her and pray over her. That God would touch her. Father, I pray for Sharon today. glorify you. We glorify your name. Has he ever touched anybody? Has he ever done a miracle in your life? Amen. Hallelujah. Folks, you might feel deserted. You might feel like that God has left town. I have felt that way. More times than I could tell you about. But you got to keep on trusting God and believing. Not because of what you feel, but because of what you know. If I went by my feelings, I'd be in trouble. But Brother West, I know this book is true. I've experienced it. I know it. I know it for myself. I don't just hear about Jesus. I've not just been told about Jesus. I've experienced him for myself. Amen. We'll have church tonight at 6. I'll meet with the council at 4:45 this afternoon. Amen. Just continue to